If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 11, we're going to be looking at verses 20 to 28. And this morning as we dig into this passage, most of us have heard of this passage, and we read about Jesus telling us to come and find rest, and most of us have no clue what that means and what to do with it. We see what appears in the beginning of that text, a harsh words from Jesus coming to people that aren't repenting and those that would not respond to his invitation, and him telling us that we need to come to him with simple childlike faith. My prayer this morning is that as we begin this, that we would come to Jesus with that simple faith of a child and allowing God to minister to us, and that he would take that heavy yoke that's been upon us and replace it with his. Amen. Father, as we come to you this morning, we ask that we would have a Jesus moment. We ask that you would fall fresh, speak to our hearts, encourage us, strengthen us, stand us up, equip us to do what you've called us to do, allowing us, Lord God, to sense your presence in it, allowing you to accomplish all that you want to in our lives. And we pray it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Setting up this text this morning, we see a town, Chorazin, that was a city about an hour away from big cities, and we see Jesus, who appears to be coming into the town, rebuking people for not repenting, not responding to his teachings. And we know that something amazing happened, but they don't record it. But Jesus is following in there. Our text is verses 20 to 28. But this morning, if we would start by just reading verses 20 to 24, it would give us an insight of what Jesus is trying to say to us this morning. Matthew 11, starting at verse 20, reading down right now to verse 24. Then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And for you, Capernaum, will be lifted to the heavens. No, you will go to Hades, for if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. Words like woe to you should be a pretty good warning for us to be concerned of what Jesus is seeing, what Jesus is hearing from us. He said that the miracles that were performed there, that had it been even in Sodom and Tyre, that it would have been better received, and that at the day of judgment, that it would be more bearable even in Sodom than in Chorazin. It's important to see the text here this morning. It's important to find out and look at what's going on, the setting and the meeting that they're having. First, I read through this and I see a ticked off Jesus looking in this text. We find a Savior that really is not angry, but that he's sorrowful and he's in much pity. And it's not really anger that Jesus had, but it's sorrow that he wanted them to respond to them. Jesus has done great things. He has spoken to them. They have been alongside of him, and we see that people didn't respond. They found, when he returned, he found them doing the same old thing, the same old way. John 21:25 tells us this: Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. And I'm sitting there thinking that these must have been one of these other times, that Jesus hadn't recorded all the things that he had done, but he had done great things. He had come back to find them doing the same old thing. And it's not out of anger, but it's out of sorrow that he sees them not responding. And my thought as I'm looking at this test, so what did they do that was so wrong? What was the response that brought Jesus to rebuking? And we see very clearly in this text that it was their indifference to Jesus. They hadn't attacked Jesus. They hadn't badmouthed Jesus. They just simply disregarded what he was saying and what he was doing. They had forgot that they had a responsibility. They heard Jesus bring this truth. They heard him bring the gospel, and they chose not to respond. See, it's really easy for us not to say we can't condemn those that didn't know, but we look at this text, and Jesus brought truth, and they were willingly blowing him off. They were holding themselves not responsible for the things that he was saying to them. See, the more you know, the more you will be responsible for. And coming up to Jesus and saying, I didn't know, is not an excuse. Jesus gave them opportunity to know, and they chose to ignore his teachings. And I think of an illustration. A man was watching the news one night, and he knew his wife was out traveling, and he hears news that there's a car going the wrong way on the highway. So he quickly begins to text his wife and let her know that a car is going in the wrong direction. He calls her and he says, honey, there's a car going the wrong direction on the freeway. And she said, forget one, there's 100 coming the wrong way. Obviously, she was the one that was going in the wrong direction. If you look at verses 25, 26, and 27, Jesus says this, at that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those whom the Son chooses to reveal. We see Jesus is revealing here his authority. A lot of times we want to look and, you know, and we see people not responding, but we see Jesus' authority here. We as believers need to accept his truth as children. Is Jesus condemning intellectual power? No. Is Jesus dealing with pride? Yes. Who does he come after? He comes after people like the Pharisees for making more laws than his 10, for making things harder than they needed to be. And we see that even as smart as Solomon was, that it's in the simplicity, the truth, the childlike heart that Jesus is looking for, that they shut themselves out if they don't accept the things that God is saying. And then we come to verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. The act of Jesus' compassion lived out, promised to those that would listen. And this is where I want to spend just a few minutes of our time this morning. See, the Greeks believed that it was hard to come to God. Most people spend their lives either running from God or pretending that what he says doesn't apply to them, or running around trying to be good enough before they submit to God because they feel like they have to do things right first. And we see that's not the Jesus that we're looking at here. We see Jesus has done great things. We see he's performed miracles. We see he's proven his authority. We see he offers an invitation to those that are to come, and that he will give them rest. See, a lot of people believe in God. That's not the problem. They know who he is, what he's about. They have information about him. They know a lot about him, but they don't know him. And Jesus gives this invitation, this request to come. And those that responded to his invitation, he promises to give them rest. See, most people do not have a problem with Jesus, with the thought of Jesus. Say amen to that. They can talk about him. They can send stuff. If you look through social media, you can see it. They can send all kinds of little cutesy sayings or little videos saying, if you love Jesus, send this to 10 people. If you love Jesus, you know, say amen. All of these different things, they can talk about them. They can send stuff about them through social media. They can really say, I love Jesus, and send these cute statements. That's not the problem. They have no problem with the thought of Jesus, but they have a problem surrendering to Jesus, telling others about Jesus, admitting that they're not perfect, taking responsibility for their actions, admitting that they're broken people, amen? Admitting that they're broken people, that they're not perfect, independent, and doesn't allow the Lord in, that's foolishness. The invitation is for all. We see that Jesus doesn't anywhere in this text say, if you want to receive his rest, if you want to come to him, if you're heavy or weary, it doesn't say you have to clean yourself up first. It says, take my yoke and replace your heavy yoke with my yoke. But I want you to notice, and we'll talk about it in just a minute, he did not say that you'll go without a yoke. He doesn't say that you're just going to be able to run and do whatever you want to do. Actually, two questions need to be answered here. What do we do with our burdens? And how do we experience God's grace so that we can receive the rest that we need? Amen? What do we do with the burdens? First, if you look at this context of what Jesus is saying to us there, we need to take an inner look at ourselves and make sure that the burdens that are carrying aren't ones that we put on our own backs. And it's not something that could be avoided or something that needs to be stopped. Those that can be avoided, these are the ones that we need to learn our lessons from. These are the ones that we need to stop doing. These are the ones that we need to realize that in our obedience to Christ, if we're carrying these burdens because we're making them ourselves, we need to let loose of them. We need to understand that actions have consequences. The Lord can forgive, but he will deal with those things that we've done. And then if these things can be avoided, these are the things the Bible tells us that we should be sharing. We share them by opening ourselves up to those that are around us and our sisters and brothers, and gather around them and help in ways to get them through their burdens, help them lighten their load, seek wisdom, help them in any way that we can. Doesn't mean we need to isolate ourselves. Doesn't mean that we can do it on our own. It doesn't mean that we forget about God when we're going through these things. We look to God's word. We look to God's people to help us through these times, moving forward and not allowing ourselves to be depressed and getting the help that we need. Let me put it another way. Shoulder burdens, share burdens, and shed burdens. They're three different things. They're all burdens, but they're approached and handled in three different ways. Shoulder burdens are the ones that you may have a physical limitation and you've been asking God to take it from you, and he hasn't yet. And we know that God can heal, but if he doesn't take it, those are the ones that maybe we need to shoulder. They would be Paul's thorn in the side, so to speak. Paul prayed and prayed and prayed, and God seemed to not take some of these things from him. These are the ones that God says, I will give you strength to shoulder through these. And shared burdens, like I said, are the ones that you help someone else, that you're sensitive, that you're able to help somebody in their burdens. We offer ourselves with our wisdom, our physical, you know, helping somebody, our financially if we're able to, emotionally if we're able to. You become involved in the process of them lifting some of their burdens. You make yourself available. Amen. I think some of the negative things of the church universal is we've gotten so busy that people are going through things and we could help and we don't. Because in our run, in our race to do all of our things, we forget that we have a responsibility to help others. We have a responsibility to be kingdom-minded. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4 says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." And then there's the shed burdens. These are the ones the Lord wants to get off of us. These are the ones that we're to turn over to the Lord and have Him work on and ask Him. These are the shed burdens are the guilt that we carry, the worry that we carry, the blaming others, and the things that are impossible. Can you say amen? The things that are impossible for us to do in ourselves, these are the things that we need to shed before the Lord. These are the things that we need to constantly be on our faces for. These are the things that I shared that scripture. The fire comes down. We need God's anointing. We need God's blessing. We need God to speak to us. Psalms 55, 22, "Cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken." Whether we're asking the Lord to lighten our burdens or we're being used to help someone else, we need to be sensitive. And we need to be in a relationship and communicating with the Lord and allowing the Lord to be involved. Taking the heavy yoke and replacing it with His yoke. And the yoke that the Lord is talking about, I believe, is the yoke of obedience so that we can experience the grace of God to the fullest. Amen. Allowing God to do these things, to not run wild. We have this attitude that we can just run wild and when we grow tired, then that's when we're going to come to the Lord. We need to be under His obedience. We need to have His guidance. Where do you want to see God's grace? I'm looking at this and I see everything that's going on and I want to see God's grace in illness and stress and divorce and jobs and debt and kids and deaths and all the things that make our day, jobs that just are causing us to grow weary. God's mercy. God's grace that He's redeemed us and called us His own and that we have this opportunity to take our tired bodies to Him and allowing Him to do these things. He takes the heavy burden and He promises to give us rest. One commentator put it this way, I love this. "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to Me. Get away with Me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with Me and work with Me. Watch how I do it. Learn the idea of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with Me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." God's yoke fits perfect. Can you say amen to that? The yoke that He desires for us is perfectly fitted. My question, anyone tired? Anybody weary? Anyone really want to experience the grace of God? Luke 4, 18 and 19, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me because He has anointed Me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent Me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus was speaking to people desperately needing grace. Speaking to people that definitely needed strength, definitely needed a word from Him, desperately those that were trying to be good to say, you know what? You don't need to clean up before you to come to me. You just need to come to me. You just bring that weary body. You just bring those tasks and those circumstances and the things that are doing, and I will give you rest. Those things that are impossible, those things that are exhausting. Remember a moment ago, I said that Jesus' yoke is not without having a place. His yoke is lighter, is less burdensome, but it is a yoke. Jesus invites us to put that yoke upon our shoulders, entering into his submission, entering into to getting rid of the heavy yoke that we've carried or caused in our lives and taking on and carrying Jesus' yoke. We're all going through things. The longer I'm in ministry, I'm finding out there was a day and age when that person that was a dysfunction, your crazy aunt or crazy uncle that was dysfunctional and you kind of put them at the back burner. Now we all have them. Can you say amen? We all have dysfunction. We all have things going on in our lives. Now more than ever before, we need to press into Jesus. You just listen to the news. You just listen to what's going on in people's lives. These things ought to be drawing us closer to the Lord. There is these burdens that we carry. There are trials that we're going through. There is life experiences we are going through. We need Jesus to lighten the load. Here I did George Gawker's funeral on Thursday, only to walk out of the funeral to hear about Ron Arendi being killed in the accident. These times that we just get to be crushing moments where we sometimes don't even get a chance to take a breath is the very times that we need to allow God to minister to us. Take a breath in the Lord. Take and let him exhale that and allow him to work in our lives. We need Jesus. Can you say amen? We got to stop playing like we can do all these things on our own. We're tired. We're weary. We're run down. We need the Lord to intervene. Amen? We can't keep going on like this. We can't keep fooling ourselves. We can't keep pretending that we're okay. And we can't keep doing these things on our own. We need each other. Be sensitive to who's not here. Look around. Be sensitive to who's not here. Who can I be a blessing to? Who can I call this week? Who can I go to the hospital and see? Who can I bring a meal to? And if you're able, do it. If you're needing that from someone, let it be known. Let's take down these barriers. Let's take down these masks, and let's allow God to do something tremendous in our lives. Come unto me, all who are weary. The invitation is for all of us. And I don't care if you're a Christian for one day or 25 years, we need Jesus. And we need to hear his voice, and we need them arms wrapped around us at times when we're going through these things. And that's not the time that you run away from your church family. That's not the time that you isolate yourself. That's the time that you press in. You're crushed, but you're not done. Father, I come in the mighty name of Jesus Christ this morning. And I pray, Lord God, each one of us is going through something. I cannot even walk through this congregation right now without someone having something going on, including my own family, that we don't need Jesus. We need you to fall fresh on us. We need your anointing. We need you to do some supernatural things in our lives, Lord God. And then I'm asking, Lord God, that as you bless, and as you touch people's lives, and as you meet needs, that, Lord God, there would be a testimony on our lips to lift up the name of Jesus. That there would still be praise on our lips. That we would still have a good word to share with someone this week that we come in contact with. And that you would get honor and glory, Lord God. I'm praying for days ahead to be a blessed days. I'm praying in the days ahead, Lord God, that after we take these mountains and as we beat these circumstances in our lives, that we would not forget who done it, and that we would recognize and love the Lord and lift his name up, because we live in a society that is hurting. We live in a society that needs Jesus. We live in a society that is looking for hope. May we be those people, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.